I will a bit put a light on my person. I'm a queer journalist, non-binary person from Ukraine, curator and cultural worker, as a co-founder of Kvitne Queer Verein. I helped establish a platform for community-based initiatives and queer visibility in Germany. I practice spans media, photography, video, fashion, and journalistic projects, as well as event management and organizing, exploring identity and migration through visual and social formats. Freeze, Flight, Fight, Phone is an art documentary project, a platform where voices are gathered and heard, voices that often remain outside official reports. This is about not only stories of survival, but also their reflection in music, poetry, photography, and painting. It's a chorus of living voices breaking through the darkness to remind us behind every given statistic stands a life, a love, and dignity. I created this project because people must never be reduced to numbers. This many people killed behind that line in the news, there is always someone's heart, someone's love, someone's life. Today you will hear only part of these voices, some important vibrant quotes, testimonies of people who cannot be here, but who deserve to be heard. Many among them are not even 30. They are the flower of the nation, Ukrainian nation. Undergoing a brutally testing time of mind, body, and soul. Now, in the fourth year of full-scale invasion, they still bear coffins of fallen loved ones and lay more mourning flowers on the graves of friends. But after victory, they will carry rainbow flags in a free country and be able to marry at home, not forced to travel abroad merely to confirm their union in foreign documents, but to legalize their families here in Ukraine. Queer people, once seen as the most vulnerable, have become some of society's strongest, most active, and most reliable members. They fight, endure occupation, live in exile, create a new culture, new identities, and new future. They share their fears, their dreams, and the small everyday moments that make up the true picture of life. Svetlana, 25 years old. I think I'm bisexual, so I'm still exploring my sexuality because it's a very wide spectrum. My pronouns are she, her. My family is large, older sister, me, brother, and the youngest sibling, who is still figuring out who they are, but currently uses they, them pronouns. They trust me with his information, and I want to be a good older sister, to support, not to say, you are just imagining things. I tried coming out to my parents. At first, my mom was frightened when I said, maybe I was in a relationship not with him. I was 19 and I thought they would never accept me. But over time, the fear passed. Now I can even joke with my dad that I once had a girlfriend. He reacts calmly. When the full-scale invasion began, I was studying in Mykolaiv, the city in the south of Ukraine. And I was there when it started. We were hiding in the basement, afraid of every sound. I remember feeling helpless. My siblings wrote to me that they were scared, sitting with two cats under coats in the basement. I couldn't calm them or hug them. The helplessness was unbearable. The scariest moment was summer 2022. I saw a photo of a destroyed building and recognized the house where two of my closest friends, my bestie and her girlfriend, rented an apartment. They weren't answering their phones. Usually in the morning, I found fresh likes on my silly TikTok videos from her she left in the night. That time I understood, something really bad happened. The next morning, my friend's mother wrote to me, they had been found. Her body was recognized by the tattoo. Both my friend Lo and her girlfriend were dead. It was my first conscious loss of someone so close. I don't even remember how I got home that day. I kept trying to recall everything to everyone. Her favorite color, her voice, even whether she had any tattoos. It all seemed to vanish in an instant. I rewatched all our old videos, reread our chats, trying to piece it all back together. The memories of staying over at her place, her feeding me sweet French toasts. The two of us watching Alf on DVD all night. Or laughing by the fountain while she drank that disgusting brandy cola. Then I came across one of her voice messages. Hey, silly girl, stop it. Everything's gonna be okay. And it felt like something inside me clicked back into place. I realized she's still here, in my heart, and she always will be, no matter what. I don't have to keep chasing her in old videos. So every time I hear that one song she loved, the one she made me promise to send her, I know the wave will hit again. And when I go to her grave, I always bring a bottle of brandy cola. I think that maybe one day I'll get a violet tattoo in honor of the character she created back when we used to write fan fiction together in schools. Now the only thing I can do is try to fulfill some of our shared dreams. They had dreamed of a wedding abroad. And sometimes I think, now whenever I said I couldn't do that myself. Even with the danger, I feel this is where I belong. My friends are here in Mykolaiv. My circle is here. I feel needed. I work officially, I pay taxes. I donate to the army from every taxi ride and every purchase. This is my way to being a part of the life they are trying to destroy. And I also dream to publish in a collection of my poems. It's 13 pages so far. Two of the poems are about the war, one about the people I lived side by side with, the other about the day I lost my friend. It's a memory I hold close. Alexander Demenko, 26 years old. My name is Alexander Demenko. I'm a veteran of the Russian-Ukrainian war, a defender of Mariupol, a former prisoner of war. Now I head the NGO LGBT Military for Equal Rights. I'm a veteran of Russia's war against Ukraine. I defended Mariupol and spent 20 months in captivity. Today, I head the NGO LGBT Military for Equal Rights. I first studied law but was expelled in Zaporizhia. Later, I enrolled in the economics faculty. During my first year there, I received my draft notice. That was back in 2019. I switched to part-time studies and joined the army. Getting the notice didn't scare me. It made me feel guilty. The war in Donbas was already ongoing. Many of my friends were already fighting. I decided I had to serve too. Back then, I didn't fully understand my identity. I was still figuring myself out. It was only during my service that I realized I'm a gay. At first, I told just one fellow soldier. He reacted calmly. Later, I found out he was queer too. We had a close-knit, friendly unit. Not everyone knew, but was respected. That gave me the freedom to be honest with myself. When Russia launched its full-scale invasion, I was stationed outside Mariupol. The same day, our entire unit was sent into the city to defend the garrison. We didn't go to war. War came to us. At first, there was confusion. Then came the adrenaline, and then the fear, once I was wounded. I was hit by shrapnel in the head, back, and my leg during a naval artillery strike on Azovstal. I was taken prisoner along with others as we carried out the wounded. At first, they treated us somewhat civilly. There were journalists and the Red Cross present. They searched us, loaded us onto a bus, and we sat there all night waiting for our turn. Then they took us to Olenivka, where we were placed in barracks. Later, we were transferred to Horlivka. During interrogations, they used physical force and torture. They wanted to frame us for war crimes to justify what they had done in Mariupol to civilians. Every civilian death was to be turned into a murder case. Every looting incident, a crime they tried to pin on us. We were forced to sign statements saying we hadn't seen or heard anything. They used electric shocks, batons, attack dogs, pepper spray. They would search through you and make you whole body size in pain. I didn't witness any deaths, but others say not everyone make it through the torture. The conditions were inhumane. Medical care barely existed. One indifferent nurse and a dentist who showed up twice a year. Food was a bit of pure barley. Some sour cabbage, a slice of bread, two tiny fish. We were allowed to wash once a week. I spent 20 months in captivity. What kept me going was the hope that I'd make it out and that someone would be waiting for me, my family. I managed to send a letter to my mother once, and she sent back a reply with photos of her, my grandmother, and my sister, and a note saying they were alive and still in Zaporizhia. I kept those photos close to my heart, almost until the very end. When they called me with all my belongings, I burned them in the stove so they won't fall into the enemy's hands. The first prisoner exchange fell through, and we were moved to a detention center in Taganrog in Russia. That place was pure hell. I don't even want to talk about it. The stories we had heard were true. People died from starvation and torture. A week later, we were finally taken out for an actual exchange. Coming back to Ukraine was surreal. We were met by soldiers, officials, journalists, doctors. Then they took me to a hospital in Sumy, fed me, and helped me to wash myself. After that, I was transferred to a rehab center in Sanjari, where I began physical recovery. But what helped heal my soul was music. A fellow soldier took me to K41, a club in Kyiv. That's where I discovered techno. It became my therapy, the music, the people, the sense of freedom. In the club, people can be themselves. Boys kiss boys, girls kiss girls. And no one cares. For me, that space became a symbol of liberation and acceptance. I went back to university to continue my economics degree, and at the same time, I began speaking publicly and taking part in activism. Along with other veterans, we started organizing events and sharing our stories to change the public narrative. That's why I became the head of LGBT military for equal rights. We fight for civil partnerships and for the hate crimes to be recognized and prosecuted. I believe that every public story moves society forward. It was also at K41 club where I found love. At the end of a party in a courtroom, I met Artur. We've been together for nearly a year now. We live in Kyiv with our cat, Louis. Artur is the kindest, most loving person I've ever met. One night, Right there in K41, he proposed it to me. I was dancing when suddenly the music stopped and a new track came on. Someone tapped me on the shoulder. I turned around and there he was, down on one knee with a ring. All our friends were around us. It was unforgettable. We are not married yet, but we will be. I want our wedding to happen in Europe and then someday, for sure, in Ukraine. I believe that by 2030, civil partnerships will be legalized of the Constitution, or the Constitution will be amended, and we'll be able to get married at home. Captivity taught me one thing above all. Human connection is everything. If you don't betray people for your own gain, you stay human. That's the greatest lesson I took with me. Rico, non-binary person, Kherson. My name is Rico, sometimes Richard, Richie, Rachel. I am non-binary and a lesbian. That's how I identify myself. I'm from Kherson. I lived there all my life until the war. To be honest, I never truly loved that city. I always dreamed of living. But now when I look back, I remember it with warmth. There was a lot I didn't like, but there were also little things I still cherish. My Tevrisky neighborhood, the tiny cafes, the market, the stationery shop where I spent hours picking out stickers and notebooks. There was also a small place called Robin Bobbin, almost like a candy shop. Eclairs, profit rolls, slices of Napoleon cake or honey cake. These simple joys, I remember them vividly to this day. When the war began, my mom and I were in shock. Her brother called and said, "Pack quickly, fuel up the car." I don't even remember what I packed. Everything happened automatically. We lived in the basement for a month. My mom was terrified, hysterical, and it was heart-wrenching to see her because I didn't know how to help. The sounds of war felt different. Explosions, great rockets, occasional gunfire in the streets. Sometimes an enemy aircraft would fly overhead and we'd throw ourselves to the floor. It was terrifying to go to the store. Long lines, barely anything on the shelves. And all the usual food preferences just collapsed. If you didn't like something before, now you ate whatever was available. When my mom went to the store on her own, it was the scariest part. Every time she came back home, felt like a small celebration. Passing through checkpoints was terrifying. Cars marked with that sign, soldiers with weapons. We hid our phones, avoided eye contact, barely breathed, trying not to draw attention. Sometimes my mom had to leave the car. Those felt like the worst moments, not knowing what might happen. When we finally crossed into Ukrainian-controlled territory, the feeling of freedom was overwhelming. The air felt different. We could truly breathe. At the first Ukrainian checkpoint, we gave cookies and all the food we had to the soldiers. They told us to keep them, but we felt we had to show our gratitude. Living abroad taught me something powerful. Identity is more than geography. Talking with Germans, speaking up for Ukraine, sharing our culture, I realized just how much Ukraine is part of me. Teaching someone Ukrainian of talking about our culture filled me with pride. We are going back to Ukraine because my roots are there, my identity, my people. I'm ready to defend my country, not necessarily with arms, but in other ways, activism, community work, resistance. I want to find myself here and build a life in Ukraine, to study, to work, to be part of a community, to be near the people I love. Those stories are just a few voices among thousands. They are different, yet they share something essential: love of life, the strength to endure even in the darkest in the darkest times, and dreams of freedom and dignity. We need to listen to these voices because they reveal the true shape of this war and of our present moment. Not dry statistics, but beating hearts. And if they could survive, keep living, creating, and dreaming, then together so can we walk in this path toward victory and a new future. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Loki, for this very impressive talk. And are there now any questions from the audience? No. Okay, then.
Any questions? In case if you want to somehow to support a project of Ukrainian queers and Ukrainian queer artists, you can reach out with me and we can talk about it. Thank you so much.
Okay, thank you then. Okay.